You know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren. And now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Hello, Hope. How shall I abandon thee?
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. We've spoken a little bit tonight about what's going on, what kind of mojo and hoodoo you got going on over there at Nevermore. How's things next door at Wright's Coin Shop?
Oh, they are so very, very busy. Everybody is selling right now. They have things they want to buy. They've got to have money for just other things. And so that's your luck. You know, you get these wonderful, wonderful things from people who were willing to part with them or had to part with them, and they can be yours.
1271 Sweeten Creek Road, and your family and the staff there, are they quick to turn that stuff around and get it back out?
Oh, yeah.
In the display cases, you know, as quick as people bring it in and they, you know, check it out, figure out a fair value mm-hmm. on it and get it back out there for the public.
People do.
People ought to drop in and take a look.
Things can look completely different from 1 hour to the next because things go so quickly and they put new stuff out all the time.
Very cool. What's the phone number at Wright's?
It is 828-298-5402.
298-5402.
And they will not be there on Monday for Memorial Day, so you have to come in on Tuesday.
Right. And you may pop in at Wright's Coin Shop now and again throughout the day, but people ought to come next door and see you and see Nevermore, because inventory there is new stuff coming in all the time. I had you looking for some of the old school powdered incense in the cardboard canisters, and you were looking at a couple of brands in the last week or two. Did you hear anything back from Rondo down in Atlanta?
I did hear something back, but I haven't gotten to reply.
Right.
So
I think that would be something fun, even if you just got a few samples
in
from them, because Rondo's been in business for ages. And that's one of the things I like about that sort of candle magic and the incense and all that. It's nostalgic, because that takes me back to the days of... You were talking about the teenage sleepovers with the Ouija boards.
Right.
That was the sort of stuff we were into when we were bad little kids. You know, we were burning candles and incense mm-hmm. and smoking Salems and playing with Ouija boards. You don't have any Salem cigarettes.
I don't have any Salem cigarettes, but I got a lot of Ouija boards.
You got a lot of Ouija boards. Enough Ouija boards to make up for it. Well, this hour... I'm taking a look at the Dark 30 material, folks. It's going to be a wild ride, so hang with us if you're into that sort of thing. And if you're not, or if you're a child, if you're smoking Salems underage, you need to get in the house and go to bed. This one, not something I would want to do. I did a little doodle up at the top of the page that just says not good. A new tourist attraction coming to San Francisco is billed as not for the faint of heart. It's rats, live ones, and not the ones you might get to see for free in the streets. These are cleaned up, adoptable rats. And at the San Francisco dungeon, you can have coffee and a pastry as they scurry around on the tables. Eat quickly unless you want to share. The Rat Cafe is a new feature at the Dungeon, an attraction that takes tourists and locals through 200 years of the city's colorful and off-color history. The price of Dungeon admission will include coffee or tea plus pastry, plus 15 minutes of rodent interaction, plus entrance to the attraction. The aim was to create a frighteningly funny encounter, one that could only be found at the Dungeon. Drinking coffee while rats are on the loose, that's not for the faint of heart. But should you instead bond with one of the furry little guys, know that you can recreate this experience at home. These ambassador rats will be placed here by Ratty Rats, a Bay Area nonprofit that rescues, rehabilitates, and puts rats up for domestic adoption. Ooh.
Ew.
I'm not a rat fan. Mm-mm. Not a rat fan. I don't really...
You don't like 80s metal?
The band Rat, I like better than those rats. R-A-T-T. Oh. Round and round.
Yeah.
What goes around comes around. I'll tell you why. Sam knows how he can turn this show into more music trivia. All he's got to do is drop a band name. And yeah, I like that rat. That's my favorite rat.
And the lead singer was?
Steven Pearson.
Bam!
Bam! See, I do know. They had some videos. Rodney Dangerfield was in a rat video, wasn't he? Anyway, we may be getting too far afield.
Yes, you're
right. Rope it in, Vance. Unruly American Airlines passenger duct taped to seat. Witnesses said the man was acting strangely when he got up and tried to head toward the front of the plane. The man said he was going to open the door and jump out of the plane, and he refused to be stuck in any place that was so full of rude people. He also complained that all the stewardesses in the plane were really ugly, and I am out of here, he said. After trying to go through a drink cart a flight attendant used to block him, the man was subdued and duct-taped to his seat. When the Los Angeles plane landed in Hawaii, he was taken into custody. Duct tape. Yep.
Duct tape.
Silence is golden. Duct tape is silver.
Hey.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's pretty resourceful of them to got an unruly guy. It's kind of like having zip ties to bind someone's hands, or duct tape them.
Or if you're a stagehand, gaff tape.
Gaff tape.
It's a little stagehand humor there.
Sammy, what do you got over there?
Oh, let's see here. Something about Taco Bell, cocaine, and the police. A Washington State driver made a big mistake when he allegedly tried to bribe a police officer with fast food when the officer noticed drugs in his car. I went through a checkpoint last night. Did not have fast food or drugs, so that really worked out well. Officer Glass pulled a vehicle over on a Thursday for a minor equipment violation in Pasco County, Florida. The officer noticed baggies, containing white powder in the center console, which the driver tried to conceal with a cell phone. The old cell phone over the baggie trick. The 27-year-old man allegedly asked Officer Glass to disregard the cocaine, and in exchange, check out this sweet exchange, offered him a hookup at Taco Bell. He said, I will make you a year's supply of the most kick-ass tacos in the world if you will just unsee what you think you saw. Theater of the mind. Smoke and mirrors. Officer Glass thanked the man for the offer. He was very polite. Hey, man, appreciate that. I would love a year's supply of kick-ass tacos. But, because he really liked Taco Bell, he said. But he declined and told the man that as a police officer, first and only then... No, I'm a police officer, son. And then I'm a Taco Bell lover. Okay? That's where this is the code we live by. Okay? The man was charged with cocaine possession and trying to bribe an officer. I mean, I got out of a ticket once and I offered, just to be nice, I offered the guy some station stuff, you know, like hats and keyboard mouse pads and koozies and... Because, he was a listener of the station. And he was like, love to. We all love your station, but we can't accept. And I wasn't trying to bribe him. I was just like, hey, man, I appreciate you listening. Have a hat. But he wouldn't even take a hat, you know. He was an upstanding officer.
Upstanding, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Maybe if you'd caught him off duty at at a remote or something like that, it would have been a different story.
But being pulled over, going about 35 over in a station vehicle.
No.
What's the story? Yeah, we said that.
What? A year supply of kick-ass tacos.
Now, he didn't specify if they were like those Doritos Locos.
Man.
If it was the Doritos Locos, I might have to be like, okay, let's work something out. First, you're going to give me those baggies. Then you're going to give me the tacos.
Oh, my goodness. Shelley, you ready? Big Pine Key, Florida. Authorities say a Louisiana woman living illegally in a vacant home in Florida answered the door completely naked when a sheriff's deputy stopped by to investigate. Monroe County Sheriff's spokeswoman said a real estate agent called to report that someone was staying at the home on Big Pine Key without the owner's permission. An officer looked in the window and saw the 36-year-old woman standing in the living room totally naked. He knocked on the door, and she answered, still naked. The woman refused to get dressed, and investigators say she fought with the deputy as he tried to take her into custody. The struggle continued until other deputies arrived. The woman had covered herself in baby oil, and she was like trying to grab a greased pig. She was also making loud noises, not unlike a pig. In the brawl, police believe the woman was under the influence of strong drugs. The woman has been charged with trespassing, battery on a law enforcement officer, and resisting arrest.
I couldn't help but think of Ned Beatty.
The baby oil bit.
No, the pig, squealing like a pig.
I think that was a pretty interesting ploy on her part. Get naked, coat yourself in baby oil, and they won't be able to take you into custody, but
not a bad
didn't work
heard out. Worse
didn't work out for her that way. You are listening to Speaking of Strange, and we'll be right back. From the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, the oldest mountains in the world, the Smokies. Speaking of strange, and it's the Dark 30 hour. So if you're sensitive, if you don't want to hear disgusting, disturbing, distressing news, well, isn't most of it. But no, this stuff is particularly unseemly is a word. That's a word. Unseemly is a word.
I think so.
After getting fired from his job at a factory, one young man decided to take his vengeance out on the world the best way he knew how. Surveillance footage from inside an ATM at the Shanghai Bank shows a 19-year-old man surnamed Lee carrying out his masterful plan for revenge. First, Lee uses a black marker to color over the lens of the camera. Then he takes out a hammer from his bag and starts smashing the ATM. Next, he draws out a small container of lighter fluid, which he squirts on the ATM before setting the machine alight. With the fire raging, Lee then becomes concerned that the blaze could grow out of control. After blowing on the flames doesn't work, he gets a better idea, unzipping his pants and urinating on the fiery ATM. He was arrested recently by police in Pudong for the destruction of the ATM. Here's how he explained his motive for the crime to the police. Since I don't have any money, I want to make sure that other people can't get their money either. If my life sucks, then it's only fair that all ATM machines be destroyed so no one has any money to buy the crappy things the company makes that fired me.
What was the guy's name again?
Lee was the last
Leak?
Name.
Yeah. And what was the province in China?
Pudong.
Okay, just clearing those up. Leak and Pudong.
Yeah.
Well, I have one over here. If you're talking about leaks, I have one about something similar.
Go for it.
Oh, man. I mean, being accused of a crime is pretty crappy. I think we're all in agreement on that, right?
Yeah.
But that's no reason to poop on a search warrant. I can tell you from experience, you don't want to do that. They really frown upon it. But that's what a... Shelly, where are you? Shelly, where are you?
I'm here, yes!
That's what a Florida man accused of a shooting at a Deerfield Beach deputy allegedly did while his paperwork was being processed, according to the Broward County Sheriff's Office. Let me just tell you, Broward County, it's like the Wild West down there. Seriously, it's crazy town down there. It's insanity what happens down there. Anyway, the 24-year-old man was arrested recently in connection with a shooting that took place about 3 a.m., near a local nightclub. Like my friend's dad always said, nothing good happens after midnight, boys. Nothing good. I can't really agree with that. But authorities accused the man of shooting and robbing a clubgoer who was expected to recover, thankfully. In addition, the criminal allegedly shot at Broward County, the sheriff's deputy, who was responding. You don't definitely ever want to do that. The man eluded capture till the next day, but he was. It'll eventually get you. He was apprehended driving in Fort Lauderdale. So he's been charged with attempted first-degree murder, attempted murder of a law enforcement officer, armed robbery, obstructing a police officer executing a search warrant, and driving while license revoked. None of those are good. That is bad. But it's what the man allegedly did while in custody that's really raising a stink. Oh, gosh, golly. Well, when they pulled over the man, they served him with a search warrant to get his DNA in order to match him to the crime scene. The man refused to let officers take his picture, fingerprints, or DNA, claiming a judge had no jurisdiction over him and only God could judge him. However, while his paperwork was being processed, he allegedly went into the bathroom and dumped a whole bunch of DNA, or defecation not appreciated, on the warrant. I don't know why he would have a copy of the warrant in the bathroom. I don't know why they'd let him in the bathroom unsupervised with the warrant. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is somebody fact-checking these? When officers checked on the man, he said, I got your DNA samples right here, coppers. I added the coppers part myself because I thought it sounded like Jimmy Cagney. The man appeared in court on Wednesday. He chose to represent himself, also not a very smart move, especially in a capital murder case, and to argue with the judge that he has no power over him, and he remains in jail. In Broward County, probably still dumping all over the place.
There was a story that went around a couple of years ago about someone who had filed their tax return with racing stripes on it. And the IRS did not look too kindly to that.
No.
They were fined and reprimanded. I don't know what the outcome of that was. But, don't wipe with legal documents like that. You'll just get yourself in
more trouble. Hey, might get E. coli.
Yeah, you might get paper cuts. That's the thing. I would not want a paper cut there.
No, I mean, no. But why would they do that? It seems like some, I don't know if that's real or not. Like, hey, guys, mind if I get, you just shot a cop? And can I go to the bathroom real quick? Oh, yeah. Can I see that warrant? Something to read while I'm in there?
Read over that? Wow.
What you got?
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing worse than bad French fries. A woman.
Really? There's like.
There's really nothing worse than bad French fries.
And hunger. Nope. And, I mean, genocide. And no. French fries.
No, can't hold a candle to bad French fries.
I guess you're right.
A woman in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, was so upset about the French fries she received at a fast food restaurant that she maced the employees. 25-year-old woman reportedly went to a Wendy's drive-thru where she ordered food. She had requested that her French fries be fresh, and apparently they did not live up to her standards. An argument ensued. The restaurant employees said the woman reached through the window, and an employee then threw a soda at her. The woman grabbed mace and sprayed it through the drive-through window. The manager was hit in the face by the spray, and another employee was also hit. The woman was yelling in the window serving bad French fries was a criminal offense, and we are all going to eat some mace. Cops arrived on the scene following a disturbance call. The woman now faces one charge of assault by using tear gas to immobilize.
Well, it's not. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'll take the flack. Well, let's not pretend that even on the best. And I was employee of the month there back in '94. What's on a good day, Wendy's fries aren't that great, even fresh out the fryer. I mean, you got like a 2-minute window with Wendy's fries before they're like not really that good.
Well, I like the old way before they did the sea salt. I call them the recession fries now.
Yeah.
They're not good.
Yeah, but when I read the headline, I immediately thought of soggy, greasy French fries. Have you ever like gone back for some fast food fries after they've been like sitting in the cardboard for a couple hours?
Not good.
Yeah.
But
worst thing in the world.
What about a hot soggy fry, like a Zaxby's fry, like a
hot and soggy?
That's good.
Hmm.
With the seasoning on it, you don't want those to be overcooked and too done. You want them to have some sog and limpness in them.
I gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
And that Zax sauce, yeah.
Oh, those,
free plug.
Soggy, you know, fry with a Zax sauce?
The Zax sauce is good. Good stuff.
They changed their ice, though. They got one of those smart machines.
I like
it's so smart that I don't know how to use it.
I like the old chewy ice, they call
they
it.
They had the best ice. No longer.
A man recently sued a woman for texting in the theater during a showing of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 on their date. The pair reportedly settled and did not have to go to court because the woman paid him back $17.31 for the cost of the 3D ticket. She said the man must be the biggest a-hole in the world. Who in the world sues someone for texting during a movie? This man may have got his $17.31 back, but I bet you it will be a long time before he gets another date. He has blacklisted himself with every available female in the city from all the publicity he created by being such a cheap bastard. I don't know about all that. I think texting during
texting
a movie is offensive.
But not suable. It's clogging up the legal system with
that's
with
true. The fact that
tomfoolery.
He would even file that paperwork. You know what?
Just be like,
somebody
hey,
should have done with his paperwork.
Wiped their bottom with
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sent a copy to his grandma.
Well, is it during the previews? Because, you know, you can get away with stuff during the previews.
I at least dim it all the way down.
Yeah. I think cinema etiquette with cell phones is something we should all practice.
It starts with cinema etiquette.
It starts with cinema etiquette. And it ends with the Dark 30 Hour here on Speaking of Strange. Hang with us if your stomach can take it. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
talk about the people them want. Woman them a flex and the man them a chant. Cause the 60s style it have to come back. Draw for your bell bottom, black heel and frock. Boom shakala crude boy. You know me tell them no sir.
Listening to Speaking of Strange, and this is what they call the Dark 30 Hour, because a lot of mischief is going on out in the world, and it's our responsibility to report that to you. You really need to know that even when weird things are happening in your life, they at least you're not some of these folks. A lot of the, well, I don't know, guys, what do you think about a lot of the just sheer drunkenness sort of stuff doesn't really surprise me. I guess that coming
some people,
from somebody that that did their share of drinking and got into some mischief. A lot of the drunken stories sound pretty ordinary to me, or at least within the realm of possibilities. But in Washington State, they're looking for volunteers to smoke pot for science.
Really?
Researchers at the Washington State University need volunteers for a study to help develop a breathalyzer for pot. As part of the study, volunteers will be asked to answer questions regarding food, drink, and other edibles they have recently consumed before being asked to give preliminary blood, breath, and oral fluid samples at Pullman Hospital. Participants will then be asked to purchase marijuana from a state-licensed retail store and smoke it in a private residence until a personal self-assessed high is reached, that they are stoned, and then they will return to the hospital by taxi to give additional samples. As an optional step, participants will also be asked to interact with law enforcement volunteers and allow them to conduct the standard field sobriety test. If successful, the study could aid in the development of a field procedure for the detection of the presence of THC, the active ingredient in cannabis, and eventually help prevent vehicle accidents or deaths due to drug-impaired driving. Washington State. Yeah, is it...
It's the man that you love to hate coming out of Washington State.
Is it not... Is it something that they really have not standardized or have any real way decide how stoned somebody is, right? You've got like a blood alcohol content, you know. You can say that this person is beyond the pale as far as drinking and driving, but how stoned is too stoned?
Well, it's also it's like a different meter of... how they read it, you know. I mean, it's got blood alcohol level. It's not like THC alcohol level. I forget the scale that they use, but it would necessitate in like drawing blood. And by the time they're trying to find a way to do it on the spot, and like a breath isn't going to do it. So it might have to be on a more case by case basis. A lot of these edibles, you know, like one of those edibles, you shouldn't be driving a car though, for real. Like, those things are strong.
It seems like when they're talking about conducting the field sobriety tests, in a lot of cases, it is going to be behavioral. If you are visibly, observably too high to be driving,
Yeah.
Then
keep your mouth shut and be cool.
I guess that'll stand up in traffic court. What do you got over there, Sam? Anything interesting to share?
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, let's do a little Walmart here. Do a little Wally World.
Sure.
Yeah, we haven't had a Wally World story in a few.
Yeah.
In Wadena, Minnesota. Dan, if you were on, a Minnesota man went to Walmart searching for a deal but ended up wrangling a deer who was probably looking for a snack. The young deer, or the young buck, as we'll call him. He wandered into the store without a hitch. So he was obviously in the sporting goods section. He was looking for a hitch for his... It came in through the garden doors. You know, those big... I always thought about that. You know, like, they're attracted to flora, fauna. There's big doors. Anyway, must have been eating the flowers. Moments later, I don't know why they put this detail in the story, but it seems pertinent. Moments later, a man wearing a WWE t-shirt...
Dressed for the occasion.
But what wrestler? I mean, are we talking old WWE? Are we talking new? Tackled the young buck. I mean, a hero. The man should have a stamp or a gold coin from Wright's Coin Shop. Shelly, do you got that new silver dollar WWE buck tackling coin? He tackled the buck, put it in a headlock before letting it free outside to get shot later. He said, "I figured I was bigger than him, so I would win that wrestling match," said the man in the WWE shirt. The whole ordeal spurned an amazing photo that's making the rounds on Facebook. No one was hurt, thank heavens. And Wally World said it's already made policy changes to prevent deer from coming into the store or something. We're going to build a wall, keep them deer out. I don't know.
One of the most frightening things to me about driving late at night is you'll see like herds of deer, like
on 26,
six or eight deer right on the shoulder of the road, and you're doing 75 miles an hour down 26 outside Columbia. Oh, and you're thinking, man, do not run out in front of me, and you'll see roadkill deer.
Oh, I hate seeing it.
I mean, so it happens.
But, like, you'll be driving up that 2-mile stretch of 26, the big grade right before Long Shoals exit.
Yeah.
And through that section, I've counted on some nights, you know, in double digits, where it's like 12, 13, 14 in that stretch. And you'll see the eyes glistening first, and you're like, oh, and there'll be a baby deer, you know. And you're like, please don't, no.
Yeah, terrifying.
And they don't really care. They're chill. They're like, most of the time, they're not like running, darting a lot of the time. They're just eating. But, man, they will destroy a car.
Oh,
they'd
yeah.
kill you pretty easily.
Well, you remember last week. I was almost in the driveway here when a little deer almost hit me.
Or you almost hit a little deer.
No, it almost hit me.
Was it driving a golf cart or something?
It was going faster than me. It was more powerful than me.
More powerful. More powerful than you. Shelly, it's not a false alarm this time. A 39-year-old man living in Riviera Beach, Florida, is facing a first-degree murder charge after he shot and killed another man Saturday who made fun of his firearm, according to the arrest report.
Oh, jeez.
The shooter is being held without bond at Palm Beach County Jail. Aside from murder, the man is also facing two counts of ag assault with a deadly weapon.
A deadly wussy weapon.
The 41-year-old victim died at the scene. The two men were seasonal roofing workers who traveled around the country together and lived in the same residence. The victim allegedly made fun of the shooter. Made fun of his gun because the .38 caliber semi-automatic weapon did not go off when he pulled the trigger, and told the shooter, "Your gun works about as well as your penis."
That is a pretty good one.
It was a pretty good line. The victim said, "Maybe you should feed it a Viagra tablet to help it." And then the shooter fired again, striking the victim in the upper left chest, the report said. The man also allegedly pointed his gun at two other residents and pulled the trigger several times, but the weapon did not fire.
Because it was a wussy gun. Needed Viagra.
The man told police He shot the man because he was armed with a knife. The other residents told police the man was not holding the knife when he was shot. He was shot as he was making fun of the man's gun and his penis not working right.
Was there alcohol involved in this story?
Why, yes, there was.
Oh, so let's mark that in the weed has not gotten anybody shot that we know of in this Dark 30, at least.
That was an angry young man, though, and he didn't like having his broken gun compared to his
that was a little music tribute
penis.
There, little sticks. You're fooling yourself and angry.
Oh, my goodness, an angry young man.
Oh, there's a lot of there's a lot
Get
of those.
Get back on your feet. Yeah.
I mean...
We got another Florida story that sounds like, I was saying, par for the course, intoxication. A father visiting Walt Disney World with his family is in jail, accused of child neglect after what witnesses describe as a drunken tirade through one of the resorts. According to his arrest affidavit, the Ohio man was using his child's stroller to plow through crowds at Disney's Art of Animation Resort on Sunday. They said he was using racial slurs at all non-white people as he pushed the stroller through. Disney Resort managers said they received at least 11 complaints about the man over the course of 4 hours. The man's wife, she ratted him out. She told Orange County Sheriff's investigators they started the day at ESPN's Wide World of Sports for a cheerleading competition. She said after her husband would not stop talking dirty about the cheerleaders as he had been drinking beers since 9 a.m.
Oh.
She demanded they go back to the hotel. She said they left with their young son around 3:30, returned to the resort, and their witnesses told deputies the man sat poolside with his child in the stroller next to him and drank himself into, quote, a state of absolute intoxication. A resort manager told investigators the man was escorted back to his room only to return to the food court where people complained he was threatening them with violence. He was telling people he was a secret government agent, and if they messed with him, he would have President Trump do a whack job on them. Deputy said the man called him names repeatedly on his way to jail, and he told the deputy Donald Trump was going to kill him for messing with one of his secret agents.
So many things about that story that seem horrible.
Secret
it's like
agent.
Family vacation to Florida.
Secret agent.
Cheerleading. buffets, food court buffet. Oh,
It is the Dark 30 on Speaking of Strange. We'll wrap it up when we get back.
On the what, Vance?
On the Planet of the Apes. The Mummies, everyone. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant band. I've never seen them live.
That would be awesome. It's on a bucket list.
Yeah. Yeah. They played at the big what's his name? Jack White had, he opened a record pressing plant up in Detroit recently.
Oh, in Detroit?
Yeah, he opened the pressing plant up there, and the Mummies were playing. Yeah, Greg Cartwright from here in Asheville went up and played that show. Yeah, said it was pretty cool.
It was pre-internet. That was one of the records that took me longest ever to find. And when I found the Mummies play their own records on vinyl, I was like, yes!
Cool stuff. Here's some news from across the pond. British athletes claim sex ghost is haunting their reality show. Well, that's one way to scare up publicity. Two British athletes starring on a reality show are claiming that a sex ghost seems to be haunting their hotel rooms. During the episode, the 25-year-old reportedly asked for a new room after allegedly being sexually violated by a ghost. Another competing celebrity, Emma Parker Bowles, the Duchess of Cornwall's niece, said on the show that the man was penetrated by some sort of paranormal entity. Another gentleman concurred. She had a ghost going, she had a sleep thing, he said, according to The Sun. I didn't read this in advance. I should have, because I'll just leave it to the imagination. The ghost was going at it while she was sleeping. She wishes it were a person. It was penetrating her body. The feeling was apparently so real to her, she asked for a room change, as did Thomas. I wanted to move to different floors because when I'm hearing these ghost stories, I was at the very end of the corridor and I got scared, he said. The two athletes are just the latest semi-famous people. People who've claimed to have had ghost sex. Last year, Bobby Brown promoted his autobiography by claiming a ghost had sex with him. I wasn't high,
I think,
Brown told 2020. I was not tripping.
Bobby Brown, like Bobby Brown, or the girl Bobby Brown?
No, the girl died.
No, not the not his daughter. There's a girl named Bobby Brown. Not related.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I didn't.
Oh, weird.
In 2012, Kesha told Ryan Seacrest her song Supernatural was inspired by a Randy romp with a male ghost. There's those UK words. This is from HuffPo. Randy romp. It's all about experiences with the supernatural, but in a sexy way, she told Seacrest. I had a couple of experiences with the supernatural. I don't know his name. He was a ghost. I'm very open to it. The concept of ghost sex arouses lots of interest, and there are some people, spectrophiliacs, who fantasize about spooky encounters. Spectrophiliacs.
I wasn't familiar with that term. We
gotta
weren't
be made up.
We weren't familiar with fidget spinners earlier.
I did not know what that was.
No, so
I had to ask Sam.
Yeah, I kind of knew, but a fidget spinner is apparently like for in this age of ADD, like it's sort of like something you would hang over a baby's crib to keep them occupied because people are dumb, like little babies, and they need to be occupied with something to play with. But a fidget spinner, it's like you hold it in your hand instead of biting your nails or whatever, like you play around with it. Well, according to a local media in Boise, Idaho, a 19-year-old man had been introduced to a fidget spinner by one of his younger cousins, and he, was a dumb baby, and was playing with the device while in bed while he had an accident, much like a dumb baby. he's really embarrassed. Why is he so embarrassed? He got the fidget spinner stuck in his anus. I believe that's the correct medical term for it. And he's like, according to the man's relative, who I'm sure he divulged the whole story to. Well, I told Uncle Bill, he said, according to the man's relative, it did feel good at first. After he tried that, he thought he might try and insert a part of the spinner into his anus, but somehow he went too far. Because fidget spinners, well, many things do not have safeties on them and are not meant to be. I mean, they do a lot of things. They're like, they'll spin, they'll twirl. They have sparkles and sparkles. They don't have safeties. Not meant to keep your anus occupied.
Yeah.
Just your mind and thoughts and things of that nature.
Yeah, so don't fidget with your anus. That's our parting thoughts.
Just keep that in mind.
That's a good bumper sticker slogan, too. Don't fidget with Uranus. Here,
you're so puritanical.
Here, speaking of strange, we've taken you down a dark road. Hopefully, you won't dream about fidget spinners wedged in Uranus tonight. Join us again whenever we get around to doing this again, won't you? Thanks to Brian Hall. Thanks to Joshua P. Warren. Thanks to Mobius. Thanks to Joshua Dendy. Thanks to you, the good listeners. Thanks to Shelly and Sam. Thanks to Shelvanza Sam. Let's do it again. My flaps were on fire.